change your thought and your habit according to the Word of God? Are you willing to change that according to the Word of God? Without making up excuses, without thinking we got a better way, but according to what God says. Are we willing to do that? Now let's look here in chapter 15, and notice what it says in verse 31, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Wow. "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Are we humble enough to allow God to teach us? I mean, really teach us. Instruct us in our lives. Are we willing to let that take place? We are in a crisis in American parenting. Youth, I'm going to give you a whole lot of survey stuff this morning. I want you to, boy, pay attention to this. It's amazing. Youth spend more than 40 hours a week consuming media. They accept premarital and extramarital, I don't like to use this word, sex, as normal. They are desensitized by violence, having seen it thousands of times on media. Games, movies, you know the scenario. They are oblivious to poverty unless they are experiencing it themselves. Have no idea. They're not taught about it. They express a need for excessive stuff. And they're often disrespectful, uncivil, and many use foul language constantly. That's not new to you, is it? That's not a revelation. We know that. Some of this might be. In a recent study done by the Barna Group of 8 to 12-year-olds, fewer than half believe the Bible is totally accurate. 36% believe it is accurate in the principles it teaches. That's interesting. Some of these facts and figures don't add up, telling me our younger generation is confused. A little under half believe it's totally accurate, but 36%, that's even less than that, believe it's accurate in the principles it teaches. Only 28% believe the devil is real. More than half believe that Jesus sinned. You can't get saved with a sinner Savior. Most believe in the existence of a God, but only 58% believe He is all-knowing, all-powerful Creator that still rules. And many are not even sure of the Creator part. Get this one. Less than a third believe Jesus resurrected after His death. 80% believe good people earn their way to heaven. 40% believe we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And only 20% believe they have a responsibility to share the faith that they might have. And yet we as adults tend to ignore and to deny there's a crisis or a problem. And we will say things like this: it's just the way things are. Or we might say, it will work itself out. And sometimes we hear these things are they're just different these days. Things are just different these days. Really? Or the one I've heard the most, it's really not that bad. Relax. Give it time. It's no worse than ever. We need to stop and look at the bare facts. With all that is going on in our world, in our nation, the home up to the preteen years is still the greatest impact on the life of a child. And that leaves parents with a tremendous responsibility. May I say, first of all, for the findings I have just read to you, but a tremendous responsibility for the children, the grandchildren, the kids of our church, the next generation. We have a great, great responsibility. It's not somebody else's job. It's ours. And too often we want to just leave it for others. Interesting that though children have their greatest impact in their life from their parents, when these same parents were surveyed, and I'm talking about Christian parents in this case, there were three basic parenting methods that are employed. Three basic. One, following that, what one sees and hears from society. Just doing what everybody else does. Which, basically nothing. Number two, trial and error. Assuming that there are no absolute guidelines. The basic goal of these two is a survival of parents and children. I have actually heard parents say they would be a success if none of their children ended up in jail. I guess, okay, they're criminals, they didn't get caught. I'm not sure what that means. And the last group, and thank God for this, and I hope this is your group, the Bible is the absolute guideline. And I use the word absolute there. And is the chief source of their goals, their thinking, and their actions. The goal of these people is not to raise their children that they might have a good job in the end. It's to transform them into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we know about children? They are not born in the image of the Lord. Well, you say, well, we were created in the image of God. We have that in, but remember, we have what? Sinful nature. There must be that transformation that takes place. And so that's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We look at verses like that and we say, that cannot be. We will say the Bible is true, but we will not believe the promise that God gives there. And I'll get into in a few moments why we don't and what needs to change in our hearts. I'm just saying this in a general way. The book of Romans chapter 6 and verse number 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That is the goal of a parent. Ought to be to see their child transformed from the old nature to allowing the nature of God to dominate their lives. There are two very definite decisions I believe that every Christian parent needs to make. One, to make the Bible the absolute guideline for training their children. Not Spock or Spook or anybody else. The Bible. Okay? And number two, to make it effective by both believing and living it themselves. If we want children to love God passionately and put Him first, then we must love God passionately and put Him first in everything. What we find, the home is the dominant factor in a child's life, at least until he's in his preteen years. Up to 12, even 13. Other things begin to take over then. You have a tremendous, tremendous input into those lives. What are you allowing to be there? It's important. I believe that the theme of our life and parenting must be, is what Jesus told to one man, a lawyer. He said to him, it's recorded three times in the Bible, in Matthew it says it like this, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." In another place, he says, "and with all thy strength." If we are going to impart to our children, then it must be a part of us. How can we impart that which is not a part of ourselves? It must be, from our life to theirs. One of the first things I learned years ago in education as we began our school here was that what we are doing is imparting our life to the life of another individual. That's what education is all about. We're talking about the education of our children. What are we teaching them? How are we guiding them? How are we training them up in the way he should go? How can we train them in the way if we are not in the way? These are hard questions. How can we train them to go down that path when we're standing over here in another one? How can we say, "Follow me down this course," when we're not going down that course ourselves? It becomes very, very important. What happens to our kids today? They get confused. That's why God said to fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't aggravate them and angervate them, it's a new word I just coined, by not being what you are trying to teach them to go. Now God said we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And if you and I are going to accomplish that in the life of our young people, it needs to be in our lives. So I want to stop and think about it a little bit longer this morning. And let's just divide that up a little bit. Loving God with all of the mind. You ever thought about that? Loving God with all of the mind. It seems to me if we're going to love with the mind, then that mind needs to be activated. It means we're going to have to invest some mental energy. And if it's going to be God, then it's invest some mental energy in understanding who God is. I would dare say, I've not read a survey, but I would dare say that the average parent today who claims to be a Christian could not really give you a good definition of who God is, what He's really all about. But we need to study that. We need to understand who the God of the Bible is. And we need to know how He thinks about things and what He thinks about things. And what does that mean? That means that we need to be in the Word of God. If we're going to take our children down the path in the way that they should go, is not the Bible the roadmap down the way? Then why do we insist upon so often going down that way without the roadmap? I love technology. I don't know a whole lot about it. I get frustrated with some of it. This week, my printer quit working. I don't know what happened. It disappeared off of my... I got a wireless computer. It disappeared off of my computer. So they wouldn't talk to each other. And so I think one was male and one was female and one was standing on the air hose and something was going wrong. And they ended up in divorce. It was bad. And here we are. Here I am with that. I'm frustrated because I don't know how to fix it. Praise the Lord, God gave me an answer later. But anyways, I'm in the middle of that, and I got to come over across the way. I come across the way, and I walk in the door, and my wife's right at the bottom of the steps, and she says, "I can't get this program to work. We have a new program, and we had just the day before we went through it, and she needed to print something from it, and it wasn't working, and says it won't work." And she was frustrated, and so she came to me, and that doubled my frustration. I walk upstairs, and I don't even get inside the door, and Mrs. Lidge is sitting there, and she's working on another program, and it ain't working the way she thinks it ought to work either. Just how's this, you know? And I almost lost it. Well, I love technology when it works. Amen. How many got a smartphone? Okay, you know what I'm talking about with smartphones. They're a wonderful invention. We live in a day and age, we carry our phones with us, and every now and then we talk on them. Ask the typical young person what time it is. They don't look at their watch, they pull their phone out. They look at their phone. And you say to some girl, your makeup's smudged, she's going to pull out her phone and going to turn on the camera and be looking at herself for a selfie, but without flashing it, you know. And so she's looking at herself and they're trying to find the thing. I mean, it's a crazy world we live in. And if you don't know something, if you have an iPhone, you can ask, what is that gal's name? Siri. Yeah. Every question I ask Siri, she can't understand me. It's a weird world. Anyways, I do that once in a while. Yeah, I have. I asked her here a while back, I says, "Who's the most handsome guy in all the world? Am I?" And I didn't get a very good answer. We can have fun with those things. Well, here we got this smartphone. And you can, when I go on trip now, I go to a certain app, and some of you say, "What's an app?" I don't know. It's an application. It's a program they put on the phone. And here we have a map. And I can. We went up to Minneapolis last week, and so I forget Park Plaza. I think it was the motel up in Bloomington. And so I type in Park Plaza, Bloomington. That's all I did. I didn't get all that spelled in, and then all of a sudden it all appears there, and you just push on that thing and tell it I want directions. And so all the way up there, you got this woman telling you where to go. Now that can be good, that can be bad. There was once that she wanted us to turn, and there was no place to turn other than into a cornfield. I don't know what her problem was at that moment. I guess she was joking with us. But anyway, we get up there, and guide us right in to the motel. Pretty neat. And quite frankly, the path to go and get off the freeway, you know, I would never seen it from the signs. I know I'd have went another way if I'd done it from a roadmap. And roadmaps, they're good too. So anyway, we got these things. What are they doing? They're telling us how to get there. And so I'd leave that on. I got a neat little device in my car. I have no idea. They call it Bluetooth. And so everybody in the car can hear my phone telling me where to go. Well, that's kind of neat because there was three other women in the car telling me that's what she said to do. It really got interesting. But you follow the directions. I'm trying to get to a point here. You and I, if we're going to get through life, we've got to follow the directions. And God gave us the directions. It's called the Holy Bible. And we need to what? We need to listen to it. We need to read it. We need to allow it to do its job in our lives. And far too often, especially we men, we're very prone to this, just to find our way. I'm not lost. How many of you men have ever been lost? We've never been lost, right? We always find a way. We've gone out hunting. We used to do a lot of road hunting. And man, we'd be somewhere. I don't know where I'm at. Well, look up. Where's the sun at? Which direction we go here? Finally, you know, you keep driving a certain direction. You come to something you recognize. And there have been times we went to something we didn't recognize. But we have, what do you got to do? You got to find something to direct you. We need that in life. And far too often, we refuse to allow that. We let the things of this world, we let all kinds of things be that which is guiding us. Okay? If we're going to love God with all of our mind, we need to what? With that mind, understand the Word of God, know who God is and what He wants. May I suggest to you too, it even involves allowing God to use your imagination or devoting our imaginations to Him. With those things, I got a thought for you and a question for you. What step could I take to love God with all of my mind? That's an individual question. What step could I take to love God with all of my mind? Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. The transforming of our mind, that needs to be accomplished. We need to allow the Word of God that privilege. If we're going to love Him with all of our mind, we must invest mental energy into understanding God. Loving God with all of the heart and soul. I'm going to put these two together and just call it the inner life. Allowing God to have that inner life, to love Him with that inner life. What's that mean? I think basically loving what God loves. Loving what God loves. What does God love? Careful with the word everything. I heard that somewhere. God doesn't love everything. God doesn't love sin. God doesn't love us going in the wrong direction. But loving what God loves. And by all means, God loves people. Do we love people? Do we love Him for His sake? Desiring what He promises. God has 30,000, I've never counted them, somebody else did. They claim 30,000 promises in the Word of God. That's pretty good stuff, amen? But desiring what He promises. Having mastery, can I put this one in here? When we talk about the inner life, having mastery over your character. Well, how do you do that? Well, you don't really. You yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. To His direction rather than personal desire. There are things that you want to do. There's things I want to do that God is not directing Him. And by the way, that doesn't mean they're wrong. But allowing His direction in a life. What could I do to take my inner life in that direction? That's a question for us. What can I do to take my life in that direction? If you and I are going to what? Lead our children down the way they should go, then we need to be in that way. And what do we want for our children? If you're born again today, listen, I don't even have any doubts, but I can rehearse it. We want them to what? Love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. We want that in their life. That's a desire. I find folks who are older, who've raised their children at least partway, and they get saved, that's inherent at the moment of salvation. And they begin to long to see their children come to know Christ and to know Him as their Savior. Loving God with all the heart. But let me go another step here. Loving God with all of your strength. With all of your strength. Let's take this. We've talked about the inner life. We've talked about the mind. But what about the body? The strength of the body. I understand the strength of the soul. I understand the strength of the mind and all of that. But did not Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what? Bodies. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Could we say this morning that if we love God with all of our strength, we are thus devoting our body's resource, all that we have within us, to the worship and the work of God? Couldn't we really say that? We're going to love Him with all of our strength. Putting your strength into doing and being what God loves. Wow. Consider this one. He loves and died for the church. I have heard preachers say, you should put your family first. Wrong. God first. God first. And then God has established basically three institutions. Two of those are for the care of the soul and the spirit. One is the family, and one is the church. By the way, the other is government, and it's for the protection of its people that they might be able to do that. That's the purpose of government. Oppressive government is when we need protection from it. And I better not go that direction. And far too many times, we will put even family ahead of church, or church ahead of family. No, we put God first. Those two mesh very well. They go together. I've heard folks say, I got to spend quality time with my children, and therefore I can't come to church. Let me ask you, isn't going to church quality time? Just some thoughts. With all of our strength, we need to be very, very careful in some areas. Now, before you turn with me, book of Philippians, chapter number 1. Book of Philippians, please. We're going to look at a prayer that's recorded for us. Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 3. I'm not going to read a lot, but just a few verses here. Then we're going to come back to these. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. Because I have you in my heart, inasmuch in both as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Those are some high ideals the Apostle Paul has written down through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, may I add. This is from God. And it is recording this prayer, and it's the prayer of this apostle concerning these Philippians, this church. Now, let's stop and think for a moment. He's asking for some very wonderful things here. That your love, verse 9, may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. What are we just looking at? We might love the Lord our God well with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. He said, I'm praying that might yet more and more knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Wow. And he tells us, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Paul's praying this for the church. Would that be good, Mom and Dad, to pray with each other concerning the ministry that you have to your family? Would that be good that we might come together as husband and wife, even as grandparents, whatever the situation is, praying for this kind of love to abound in the hearts of those about us, especially our children? Consider. Most of the time, parents don't even have a goal together for their children. There's not even a voiced concern or desire, let alone a real combined effort in prayer and decision on our part to go that direction. But let's not stop there. Paul wrote this to the church at Philippi. Should that not be for all of us in this room, as we would join the Apostle Paul in praying that the love of these kids might abound more and more? But in praying that, we'd also be praying for ourselves, because if we're going to have them trained up in the way they should go, then that's where we've got to be too. Amen? It's a must. Why are we losing our kids? I read a statistic that said somewhere between 80 and 90% of our young people raised in our evangelical churches today, when they turn 18, are gone. We don't see them in church anymore. Why is that? They've not seen the reality of Christ demonstrated in their families. They've not learned the reality of Christ in their own life. And it's just something to do. But when I find something better to do, I'm going to do it. And believe me, the devil finds him something better to do. This is tough territory, amen? And we do not realize the awful battle that is going on for the mind and the soul of our young people. And oftentimes as parents, we become facilitators of the advocacy of the devil himself. And how we need to really stop and inspect, who are we? Train up a child, what? In the way he should go. What's the promise? When he's old. I don't think that means when he's 80. It's talking about maturity. He will not depart. And how we need to go that direction. We're going to make mistakes along the way. Yeah, we do. That's no excuse. We do make mistakes. We have flubbed the dub. But we don't have to keep flubbing the dub. And we can straighten that thing out and get in the way ourselves. And then we can say to our young ones, follow me. Dads, this winter they're telling us there's going to be a lot of snow. Go outside when there's about 6 inches of snow and tell your little son or little daughter, come on. And you start marching through the snow and then see where they're at. Most likely they're going to be in your footsteps. Probably not blazing their own trail. I had 2 hunting dogs like that. Worthless animals. Be walking out here in this brush, dog back here. He knew where the best path was. It's already been cut. Amen. So we need to make sure we're going in the right one. In the way we should go. There's our promise. Amen. God has that for us. Boy, those are some tough words. Some tough thoughts this morning. And the biggest problem in parenting is not your children. It's us. And who we are. Let's pray this morning. Father, these are hard words. But oh God, they're true. And we know it in our soul. We know it down inside. Lord, so many times we get so caught up in all the things of the world and this and that and the other thing, and we don't stop and consider these things. We go by trial and error. We go by the thoughts of this world in raising our kids. And your word just kind of sits on the coffee table. Not only physically, but in our lives as well. God, I pray this morning you'll give us that tremendous desire to follow you, to love you. Blessing each one. And God, I pray you help them overcome all those things that detract and pull them away. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.